for 7/14/28. Boy, do I have some opinions I want to share with you guys about minorities. It's Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
Yeah, that was really weird. I hope I'm not all out of sync this time. And I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
Well, I guess I'll mark that to edit that together in a way that's comprehensible. How are you guys doing?
I think your waveform
would have been
small
hilarious if you guys
compared to mine again.
Back me up.
You know, it's not the size of the waveform, it's the offensiveness of the things that you say on it.
Sure. With it. Sure.
Man, yeah, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what to do with this.
I just moved the mic closer to your mouth.
Cool. I want that to be the first and last thing you move closer to my mouth. Riff, how you been?
I've been all right. How have you been?
Not too bad.
How's sunny California treating you?
It's pretty damp. Pretty moisty.
I mean, it's a little cloudy at times, but I wouldn't say it's damp.
We've gone to the Stone Brewery twice since the last Video Games Hot Dog. It's a pretty good place. It's the magicalist place.
I love that brewery and their beer garden and their world bistro.
I left the demographic anybody cares about. Sad. Riff, I'm as old as you now.
What is that? 36?
18 to 34.
Okay.
Yeah, now you're going to cost the company more in insurance.
Kevin's mostly asleep for this podcast.
You think so?
Pretty good. Are you woken up a little more?
Yeah, I am.
He had a nap. It was adorable. Kevin was tired because he spent all day doing the stuff that he should have been doing over the last few days that he was instead playing Space Cam.
Yeah.
I drew a sweet pirate ship today, and I redrew a sweet pirate map that Riff drew. I didn't know if you intended for me to redraw that or not.
I mean, if you thought it needed it, that's fine.
Oh, it sucked, Riff. It was terrible.
No, it would have been fine. It was just it was slightly out of the style that Chicken draws things.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Kevin
took a choose your own adventure and made it into a book.
I did.
Yeah, as long as all the little dots are still in the same relative configuration, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Yes, I spend a lot of time making lines and intersections in Photoshop.
So yeah, come see us at Comic-Con. Come get a sweet pirate story in which you make all of the choices and determine the ultimate outcome of the story.
TM.
Yeah, do we know what the booth number is yet?
It's the same as it is always every year. It's 1431.
Oh, 1431. Yeah. So come visit us at 1431.
Yeah.
We'll be near the Penny Arcade Pavilion and all of those guys.
We should do a live recording of Video Games Hot Dog at Comic-Con.
That would be
awful. We totally should.
I know, it would be awful.
But we should probably do it.
Yeah, bring the device you're recording into. We can go around and yell at people.
Okay.
I know what we should do. We should go to Scott Kurtz's booth and then make snarky comments about how shitty his video game is.
Wow.
Because he doesn't have a video game. That's the point.
Yeah, but it's like PvP.
He made fun of us for having a shitty webcomic.
That's true.
We don't have a webcomic, shitty or otherwise.
Yeah. I've been solving a lot of puzzles this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, so there's a guy who plays a game that we make, and he decided to make a little puzzle hunt thing, and so I've been doing it. And it's like one of those like not prawn kind of things where it's just
this,
a series of puzzles.
Is this Krovax's thing?
No, it's a Abysmalminton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can go to abysmalminton.com, which is spelled like badminton, only abysmal instead of bad.
Yeah.
/ puzzle.
Yeah.
Sorry, bandwidth.
Yeah. You're screwed now. But there's like, it's like a little bit of a competition, and I've been keeping pace with the leaders, I guess.
I helped. I was lost in the beginning. I couldn't solve the first puzzle, but then Kevin solved half of them, and I came in
and pointed
out things that he missed.
Yeah.
We're cooperating. We just finished the Master Theorem. Riff, did you do the Master Theorem this week?
Nope, I forgot again.
It's particularly simple.
I watched Jenny play our new PvP.
Puzzle games, guys. Yeah, I spent some time trying to design and refine a PvP system that I like. I have a note of a thing to talk about on today's show.
Oh, yeah?
That's Paper Mario versus Final Fantasy.
Ooh.
Like, who do you think would win in a fight?
I was going to say, is it like a Super Smash Brothers kind of thing?
Mr. Fantasy. Who do you think would win in a fight between Paper Mario and that head from Brain Age?
Huh. Oh, that's a tough one.
I read a book this week.
Yeah.
It kind of has to do with video games. I know we're not supposed to talk about video games during this segment. It was. It was. It's weird. I have some good news for you guys. No, it was Ben Yahtzee Croshaw's book, Mogworld, which I've been hanging on to for a while. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Cool.
It's a book written from the perspective of a self-aware NPC in a World of Warcraft style game.
So it sounds like it's kind of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom Stoppard.
Nice.
He flips a coin a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It's always heads.
Cool.
That's how he knows. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It was a quick read. It was clever. You know.
What are the Mogs? Why is it called Mogworld?
It's like, I don't remember. That's the name of the game.
I see.
And it's like multi, I don't remember. They say
online
gungeons. The book ends with a review of the game. Massively online game. That's what it is. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's neat. It's about making some AIs, and then the AIs become self-aware, but they don't know that they're in a game. They just know that they are.
I wonder what the experience of the world would be like to an AI alive in a computer. Like, I don't think they would have what we consider senses, right? So
it depends on what we gave them.
You know, I have a topic on that topic for the news of the world segment.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. There was an AI that became self-aware, and
well,
the
not
only
self-aware,
reason it didn't kill us all is because it couldn't smell us.
MIT has been doing some video game related AI stuff.
Mm.
That's cool.
All right, well, let's wait till the world segment, bros.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I read a book. I ate a lot of hamburgers.
Oh yeah, there is a sweet burger joint that we'll take you to when you come San Diego way.
I keep thinking it's called Burger Joint, and I keep referring to it as Burger Lunch, but I think it's called
Burger Lounge. Yeah. It has some of the best burger I have ever had. some sweet burger. And they've
got, so when you come to Comic-Con to see us at booth 1431, also go to Burger Lounge Lunch.
Yeah, it's not
lunch.
Particularly close to the convention
burger
center.
Burger Lunch.
So maybe that actually is good, because maybe fewer people will be there.
Burger Lunch was that game that Bill Gates wrote for the QBasic demo, right? Where's two hamburgers throwing themselves off of buildings. You never played Gorilla?
No.
I don't know if it was actually written by Bill Gates or not. Something led me to believe at some point that it was written by Bill Gates, and it was just it was like Scorched Earth.
But with gorillas throwing themselves off of
throwing
roofs?
Bananas off of buildings. But hamburgers don't eat bananas.
That's true.
All right.
What have you done besides lay out a sweet Comic-Con promotional choose your own adventure?
Just the puzzles mostly. I haven't really done a lot of things besides video games and work. This past week, it's been kind of intense.
Riff, anything other than video games, work, or things in the world?
I went and got my car washed, finally.
Ooh.
After 6 months and a giant dust storm.
I was going to say, I guess that
dust
storm.
Despite the fact that we live in a friggin' desert, the old adage about going to the car wash will cause it to rain held true. And that night we had a gigantic friggin' thunderstorm with thunder and lightning and rain friggin' pouring from the sky. And I just kind of went outside and looked at it and said, what the fuck?
Followed immediately by a powdered sugar tornado.
Yeah. Did it ruin your beautiful car wash?
Yeah, why did you wash your car, Riff? You don't seem like the kind of guy that gives a shit about whether your car is dirty or not.
Well, my car was really filthy to the point where I was getting worried about maybe the paint job would suffer permanent damage.
You had already left town, Zach, but the haboob that came through left a good, I don't know, millimeter of dust on everything.
Yeah.
I don't know how much a millimeter is or what a haboob is.
Well, okay, so you know what boobs are.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that you
funny
take those
boobs.
Those boobs. Yeah, ha boobs. Imagine you take those boobs and you scatter them into a million tiny particles and then move them at 70 miles an hour through the desert.
Okay.
That's not at all what a haboob is.
And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson shoots an arrow into a scarab.
Yes.
It had a giant screaming mummy face at the front of the storm. It was pretty awesome.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be cool. I'm sorry I missed that, guys. Yeah, cool segment, bros.
Sweet.
So, guys, what have you been playing?
I've been playing two things. I've been playing some more Minecraft, and I built a bunch of automated farming equipment. Farming equipment, yeah. I've got like a button that shoots some pistons out to break my sugarcane for me, and a lever that makes my entire wheat field jump up in the air so all the wheat pops off, and then you just have to run around and pick it up instead of punching it all.
Well, so here's a question. Could you punch your sugarcane into a river that was flowing that would just deliver it to you?
Theoretically, but I haven't got that much room in that section of my basement.
The opposite of a dispenser. Like a thing that just takes items that fall on a particular thing in the world and puts them in a chest.
Yeah, that would be nice. Just puts it automatically in the chest for you. That would be sweet.
Why would that be a good thing?
Because then you could just farm stuff without having to be there.
Oh, if you not even being around. I think you'd have to be logged in for the machinery to be operating, right?
But no.
The stuff that brings things to you and it just fills up your inventory works pretty well.
Yeah, but you got to be all AFK. That's contrary to the spirit of video games.
No, you go to bed and your character is reading a book.
I guess you
and
do
collecting
have to sleep
stuff.
Sometimes, like during podcasts.
Yeah.
I also set up a little stone and glass igloo on the edge of the map for to have my base camp ready when the adventure update comes out.
What? Seriously? You found out where the edge of the map was and you built a new town there? Did you build a nether gate and stuff?
Not yet, but I'm in the process of digging out the basement to put one in there, yeah.
Why does your nether gates always have to be in the basement?
Because
it just seems like the right place for a gate to hell.
Yeah, that and also if the place that the gate is large enough for a guest to be in that room next to the gate, there's a small chance of one appearing.
In the real world?
In the real world, yeah. And we don't want guests flying around. That would probably
seriously?
Be bad. Yeah.
This is
a thing
documented thing.
Jenny built her portal room too big, and once a couple of times, Nightmare has passed by that way and had to kill a ghast that spawned in the real world next to her gate.
He also says that there's creepers in my castle, and I don't believe him. I think he's just, he's just I think he comes in there with dynamite. Fucking dynamite.
Yeah.
He blows some shit up, and then he's like, oh, fuck you, creeper trap. What else you been playing, Riff? You said two things. And Minecraft is zero things, as we've established.
Well, okay. So the one thing I played then is I played a bunch of Two Worlds 2.
What's that?
It is, it's a lot like a third-person Oblivion, sort of a brown and gray fantasy open world.
What do you mean by brown and gray?
Well, they went for realistic graphic style instead of doing like stylized fantasy graphics. And because the real world has a tendency to be kind of brown and gray, that's sort of what they ended up with.
It doesn't, though, really. It tends to be like a giant blue sky over a bunch of things that are green. Like,
no.
Well, okay, there are green fields, but I mean, you go into a town and there's stone huts, and they're all very gray.
Okay. So it's actually like Oblivion?
Yeah. It doesn't use like the World of Warcraft auto combat. You have to click to hit a dude.
It's like Gothic or that Risen game that just came out.
I haven't played either of those.
2 years ago. The Gothic games are sort of like I bought Gothic 3 because I heard some good things about it, and I played it a little bit, and it was I had to find a crazy bird man who was I guess leaving breadcrumbs that let his birds go into town and fuck with people, and then he went nuts and I had to kill him.
Wasn't he some sort of jazz musician?
Yes.
Or
I don't know what you're talking about. He was smoking reefer, that's why he went mad.
Oh. he wasn't a prisoner in Alcatraz?
No.
Okay.
No. He was on an island. Maybe that was what it was supposed to be. It was just the island had a pot.
Okay.
It was hanging above a fire. That's like Alcatraz, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
How did you find it, Riff? What are your experiences with it? Do you have anything to say?
It's pretty okay. It's got some interesting systems. Like it doesn't have full crafting for equipment, but you can dismantle equipment you're not using and use the parts to upgrade the equipment that you are using, which is handy for when your inventory fills up.
Are they parts like chunk of rusty brown shit, or are they parts like magic crystal fire?
Nah, it's like steel.
So it's gray.
You smash your hammer and get one steel, one iron, and one wood. Okay. There are crystals, there's gems that you can get and socket into your stuff, like every fantasy game. Although you can take them back out and put them in something else, which is
every fantasy game since Stig Hedlund.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if Stig
Hedlund. Let's give credit where credit is due.
I don't know if he invented gems.
I think God invented gems.
Only God can invent a gem.
A pretty good alchemy system.
To suggest otherwise would be outrageous. Truly, truly, truly outrageous. Yeah, how's the alchemy system work?
You find herbs walking around, and pretty much every non-human monster drops an organ of some sort. And it gives you a little interface that you can pick up to 5 different things and smash them together, and you get a potion. And you can kind of see roughly what your potion is going to do, because the things tell you, like, this coyote heart heals moderate wounds, and this sprig of hemlock increases potion durations. But it just sort of tells you vaguely like that. And then when you combine stuff, you get a more specific potion. And then if you like the results, you can save the recipe. I haven't had to use it very much yet, because I'm pretty much only been using healing potions, and I've been finding plenty of them just in chests and on merchants.
Well, so here's my question.
Of coyote man hearts is kind of going to waste.
Does each potion have like a unique identifier, and it's like, this potion is twice as effective as a standard potion or something, or this potion? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, are there an infinite variety of possible potions, or...
Well, it wouldn't be infinite, even if
which stuff you combine.
There are 5 ingredients?
Right, but...
You can pick 5 unique ingredients, but you can stack up multiples of them. So if you make a potion with 2 coyote hearts and 1 sprig of hemlock instead of just 1 coyote heart, it's a more heavily healing potion.
So you could just use your entire stack of coyote hearts in a single potion?
Possibly. I haven't tested that. I haven't seen how many hearts I can put in one thing.
So it's discovery crafting, and then you can save the recipe?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of interesting. I mean, like, I say this without having, like, played it, and it might actually get kind of overwhelming or sort of daunting. Like, a true alchemy thing where you took attributes of different things to make new potions or whatever, and then those potions... were just sort of a sort of field of variables that you basically set, and then when they were used, it would just sort of computed something based on those variables. Would be kind of interesting.
Warhammer Online kind of did that.
Did they?
I don't know.
Critical successes and potions and stuff.
Oh, that too. That was one of those things that like seems like a really cool idea, but then I don't know if I actually believe that it's a good idea in practice. Like, so if you know, all right, we've decided that the best sword in the game is. The sword that you get by crafting, you know, a geode from Mount Doom and a feather from the strongest dragon in the strongest 600-man raid dungeon.
And you craft those to a pogo stick. I mean, that was
you
kind
make
of
them
a weird
pogo
choice.
Stick, and then you use the pogo stick to jump up to the top of an even higher mountain to get the ingredients for the best sword.
Right.
And then the pogo stick has a single charge, and then it's useless. But then... Oh, well, we've got this cool crafting system where a crit means all of the stats on the item that you make are increased by 1. What that really means is that the best sword in the game is now the 1 in 100 times that the best sword in the game becomes
the crit.
And it's
sword.
Like the only, it seems like it would do a weird thing to the economy too, where it's like, all right, well, it's hard enough to make a game where you can craft shit and sell it, right? Like, has anybody pulled it off? Somebody's gonna say, Star Wars Galaxies was fucking perfect, but like,
this sounds weird, but in World of Warcraft, I wouldn't say a living or whatever, but like, I made a bunch of money selling shirts, and I would walk around and occasionally look at people's inventory, like people, like strangers' equipment, and I would see a shirt that I had made because they had bought one from me in the mall,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so I felt pretty successful in finding rare shirt
recipes.
You
figured out stuff that you found things that, like, every once in a while. So like, you can't really make a living as a tailor except by making robes of Arcana, because robes of Arcana were required for some warlock quest.
Yeah.
So, like, they can kind of contrive ways in which crafting is necessary.
But I mean, there's shirts a bunch of were purely cosmetic.
Right.
And if you found, like, you could find the, like, cool-looking rare shirt recipes that were, like, just different colors than you could buy anywhere else, and you could just sell them in the thing. I think that's something that a lot of games don't do, is have cosmetic equipment slots and then rare recipes for those cosmetic slots that, like, most people aren't going to bother with making, but people who want to, like, actually have a profession or whatever would do that. You know, like, I used it to level up my tailoring skill or whatever, and then just had a huge stack of them, and instead of just vendor selling them, I slowly sold them in the auction house and made a bunch of profit. I made a profit leveling my tailoring from zero to max level at the time that I did it.
Oh, well, you did it because the reason that you leveled tailoring was because you needed it to get, like, the best gloves or some shit for some build that you were trying to perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you were like, oh man, I could get five more deeps if I learned tailoring instead of this bullshit alchemy.
No, I kept alchemy. I dropped herbalism, so I had no gathering skills.
I need to do that, man. I need to become a tailor so that I can get a sweet flying carpet. That's all I've wanted since they introduced flying mounts, was a flying carpet, and they finally added it. But it's like, nope, you got to level tailoring up to 10,000 gold worth of shit in the auction house that you had to buy.
I'm pretty satisfied with the alchemists. Flying mount, though, that's pretty sexy looking.
If you do a lot more work than I've been willing to do so far, you can turn into a dragon and somebody else can ride you. I mean, I know why you're excited about that.
Yeah. I want to be ridden like a dragon.
Yeah. Well, that sounds cool. I like a discovery based crafting system. I like the crafting in Minecraft. We talked about that on an old KOL podcast. How I don't know that I believe that it's like. I'm really curious how many people playing Minecraft figure out most of the recipes on their own.
Oh, yeah. I don't see how anyone would guess what the cake recipe is, for instance.
Yeah, or like the pistons, you know? Yeah. I mean, if you knew what you were trying to make because you read on the internet, oh, you can make pistons now, then maybe you would be able to generalize.
I watched you guys play Minecraft but didn't pay a bunch of attention to, like, the crafting. So I knew a bunch of things that should have been that I knew, like, that you could make. And so then I spent a bunch of time just, like, figuring out those objects. And I think in an adventure mode where you found stuff in chests that were, like, tools or something like that, you could be like, oh, I bet I could make this with, you know, so, such and such or whatever. Like, you know, if you know what the design space is, it's not that hard to.
Well, for the simpler stuff like a pickaxe, it's not hard. But
yeah, but
things
you
like
don't
the,
need
like the cake that has cake. Five different ingredients.
But you I'm don't not... need it. It is such it's such a like cosmetic sort of fun thing for the game. It's not important.
Well,
sure.
You know?
So like that's like.
I mean, I guess the armor is all stuff you would try once you kind of figured
the
out how it
works. Very into all the stuff that's like. Important for like getting around the world and like doing stuff, I think is not necessarily intuitive, but it's not a huge leap.
Yeah, no, it's not crazy obscure. It makes sense once you've seen it.
I kind of wish Warhammer had been more popular so that we could see what it was actually like for their crafting system to exist in large. But they launched with only alchemy and like you could make like trinkets.
Huh. So like no
only two,
armor,
no blacksmithing,
weapons?
No yeah. Like no gear other than those little trinket things. And as far as I know, they have not yet added the other.
So when you were talking about the cool sword, that was very.
Oh, that was very theoretical.
Theoretical, I see.
But I think that maybe there are criticals in crafting in Lord of the Rings Online.
Huh.
You know, it's a fun idea.
But I thought
right
weren't criticals at least one of these games just more of the thing.
I mean, that's what we talked about doing when we were talking about making potions. How would you do it with a sword, though? You get two swords. If you crit, you get some of your ingredients back. I guess that's kind of a...
That's a bonus. Because
then if you do it, you know, it's one way of making a crit on the rare sword more exciting without making
the
rare
sword
better.
Oh, yeah, because it's super expensive ingredients and you only use part of them.
Yeah.
That's true. Huh.
Yeah. Or critting being extra skill ups. That's an idea that, that I like. Which, I mean, you know, you're basically just increasing the skill progression by 10% if you
because it's
10% crit rate with a plus one to the skill. But, you know, still, it's fun. It's a, you know, you slow it down by 10% and then you speed it up by 10% in a Skinner box. And everybody's like, brilliant innovation.
How about you, Zach? What have you been playing?
Let's see. World of Warcraft?
Yeah?
Yeah. I played some World of Warcraft. I had some cool multiplayer experiences. They've got the dungeon finder thing now where you just get randomly grouped up with people to run dungeons. And so when I started playing again recently, I just barely gotten good enough gear to start running heroic dungeons, but people were bad at heroic dungeons a few months ago, and so it was like it would take an hour to get into one, and then nobody knew the fights, and everybody got mad and quit after you wipe 10 times on the first boss. So then I started playing again and running heroics to gear up for the next kind of heroics that were added in the last patch. But it was fun. People more or less, you know,
so you can do more cocaine.
People were nice, and people like knew the fights and didn't mind explaining them, and I only very rarely would get into like screaming matches with dudes who were like,
you're talking through the chat because you're not in vent or anything, right?
No. I mean, you don't want to go into, you don't want to do a voice chat with strangers. That's just a fucking terrible idea.
Yeah. I've done it before. It's not that bad.
But it's just, you know, people still get pissy and quit, but then you can find somebody else fairly quickly, and it's like, you know, it's...
I'm going to change that statement. I think that committing to voice chat with strangers makes the asshat behavior less likely.
You think?
Yes. I think the anonymity of doing stuff through a chat interface increases the likelihood that they're just going to be total dicks. Mm. And I think if you are talking to them voice to voice, it decreases the like just pure dickwad quotient.
Well, I mean, that's not what the reports are from like Xbox Live, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Right. Because
okay,
so that you when you go into a dungeon group in World of Warcraft, one of you has to have checked a box. Oh,
well,
maybe this isn't true.
Xbox Live doesn't have a keyboard, so they don't have comparison. People are still dicks on the chat, but that's the only way that you can communicate with other people. So it's possible that everyone who plays Xbox Live would actually be 10 times the dick if they had a keyboard.
That's true. Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough, buddy. You're dropping some science on us. I accept it. So somebody has to check the box that says, I am comfortable with this dungeon and don't mind explaining it to people. And it marks them as the dungeon guide. And more often than not, they are the biggest asshole in the group. And so, but then...
Is it
the
like
is,
the I know everything kind of asshole?
I don't
asshole,
know if you
the...
need... No, they're just the, fuck you, how dare you come in here without knowing these fights? This heroic has existed for 6 months. How is it that you don't know it by now? And you're like, I told you it was my first time here and asked you to explain the fights to me. What, why? Anyway, that wasn't so bad in the normal heroics, but then I finally got geared up to the point where I could do these boring-ass troll heroics. Fucking trolls, man. My least favorite thing to do in a video game is wander around jungle ruins killing trolls.
What if they were troll
really?
Skeletons?
I really enjoyed when we used to go do Zula blah 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 with
Zul'aman. There's
Zul'aman
and Zul'Garub are the two that they've retooled to be five man level 85 dungeons.
Yeah, which was the one that was the big raid used to be with like the tiger god and the snake god at the end and shit.
That was Zul'Garub.
Okay. Yeah, that was the one we did all the time. That was fun.
So I was all excited. I got into Zul'aman for the first time, and there was a guy who was kind of explaining, all right, so be careful, we gotta go down this thing, and it keeps sending mobs in from the back. And then we got to the first boss and wiped. And then the tank was like, what the fuck? You shouldn't queue for this dungeon if you don't have a guild, asshole baby noobs, and quit. Like, what?
Yeah, that didn't make like, any what? Sense, because why would he believe
like,
that if he was in a pug?
If you're in a guild, why are you using the tool that randomly lets individual players in to these fucking dungeons? And, like, what kind of, like, how was somebody supposed to know that? Right? And like, oh, also, thanks for explaining the fight, asshole. He was like, this fight is too complicated to explain. And then he pulled, and then we wiped almost immediately, and then he got mad at us. We're like, okay. So then, second time, I queued. We went in, you know, we fought the bosses, kept wiping and stuff. I got yelled at for, You had 13 lava bursts in that fight that weren't crits. You should have had 0 lava bursts that weren't crits. Do you not know how to use flame shock? And I was like, I thought I had flame shock on. I'm sorry. I'll pay more attention next time. Thanks. Thanks for the advice on how to improve my deeps. I get that my deeps in this dungeon are inexcusable, and I promise
did
I will work
did they literally say 13 lava bursts that weren't
yes,
crits?
I had 13 non-crit lava bursts when I should
They've
have
They've got
had
some
zero.
Crazy reporting. Like,
I know, man. And I'm like, you know, I don't even want to tell people that I don't use any UI add-ons because then they'll immediately kick me out of the group.
Yeah, no way.
I'm just trying to play this game that the nice man's at Blizzard made for me.
I don't
know
think...
all your fancy rules, but so
you're
then we're
not playing the same game as these other people, though, is the problem.
So we finally made it. You know, we like made our way through this dungeon was like 3/4 of the way done before I even got into the group, but we made it through and we like wiped on the last boss a whole bunch of times. And every time I was running back in, I was like, "Fuck! There is no way these people are going to stick around." They kept kicking healers out for not doing enough healing. And, like, a new healer would come in and be like, "What the fuck? You're wearing PvP gear." And then they would kick him out. Like, oh, God damn it. Like, give him a chance to change. Or give him a chance to try to heal the fucking encounter once before just deciding that he's not going to do... So many dudes yelling at other dudes. I don't know why they didn't kick me out. They could have gotten another DPS in a heartbeat. But the healer comes in, and they're like, "Well, you're looking under-geared." And he's like, "Just let me try it." And I'm like, "Way to go, guy. Way to make a stand for yourself." And we totally survive and beat the boss. And then the piece of gear that the guy drops, one of the DPS guys rolls need on it when it was like a perfect upgrade for the healer. And I also rolled need on it because it was also a good upgrade for me as a caster who could wield maces, right? But one of the guys that it was just sort of inappropriate for rolled need on it, and the healer was like, "What the hell, man? That's a healer mace. Why did you roll need on that?" And the guy's response, who won it, was, "Fuck you," and then logged off.
Wow.
It's like, this was great, guys. This exchange made it all worth it. Thank you so much. Like, it really just kind of, like, my experience in running heroics, like, 4 months ago, when nobody knew them and everybody was all pissy about doing this stuff, just kind of made me stop playing World of Warcraft for 4 months. And I just have no desire to play again.
Do you want to step back for a second and explain for the small subset of our listeners that have never played WoW what it means for to run a heroic?
Like, I'm sorry. To run a heroic is like the sort of end game hard versions of dungeons that you do to get.
And dungeons are like multiplayer.
Everybody
like,
knows what dungeons
I,
are.
Dude, right? I don't. I'm not sure
they're
what
like
level of competence
like
are.
Instanced 5-man content that you go into and you kill some bosses and you get some
cool gear.
Yeah, you got somebody doing some tanks, and you got some heals that are total noobs and wearing PvP gear, okay. And then you got some deeps that aren't paying enough attention to whether they're lava bursts or critting or not.
Yep.
Anyway, I think that's it. I think I've only played World of Warcraft and the terrible assignment. And
oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that didn't like it.
Anyway, what have you been playing, Kevin?
I played a bunch of Deus Ex, which I'm sort of longing for some free time to be able to get back to playing that, because I was having a ton of fun. I realized on my notes for the week that instead of writing down like meaningful thought notes, I wrote down like my login and password notes for like where I was, like the things I was trying to hack. I spent a lot of time trying to get through the game without killing Anna Navarre. And I was not successful, so
did she just get increasingly bitchier and bitchier until you finally gave in and killed her?
No, there is a point, and I mean, this is a bit of a spoiler for anybody who has never beaten the game, but there's a point where in order to get past a locked door, you have to kill her.
Oh.
There is theoretically a way where if you can sort of freak her out by throwing a grenade at her before she's like aggroed on you, she will open the door. But I could not get her to do it. So, because she has the key, so she can open the door. No, she doesn't have the key, but she can somehow open it. I don't know. Anyway, so I had to kill her. So
Wait, so if she doesn't have the key, how does killing her open the door?
Because the guy who will give you the key...
Is scared of her. Oh, yes. The guy who will give you the key is a chicken and cannot be on the same side of the river as Anna Navarre, or she will eat him.
Exactly. And I hadn't played a totally like peaceful game. Like I definitely had some turrets kill people, and I didn't realize that would count on my thing or whatever. So it's not like I had like a perfect no kill game or whatever. But I just in general was trying to avoid it. I had not killed her early on in the point in the 747 where you can kill her, and then I saved my brother from certain doom. And then, yeah, like, I don't know. I just, it's just a bunch of fun. The level design in Deus Ex is just freaking awesome.
It really feels like an open world game, even though it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's very constrained, but it, like, each level is just big enough where you feel like you're really exploring stuff, and, like, there's always, like, two or three ways to get from one place to another, and it's just
evidenced
phenomenal.
By the fact that, like, even though the levels are totally constrained and linear, I am still fucking lost every minute that I'm playing that
yeah.
game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not at all. I love it. I love.
You're
I
good.
Just,
you're better at navigating.
I'm pretty good at navigating 3D spaces. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I really wanted a map in Hell's Kitchen because that was confusing as hell to me.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely the largest zone that they had thrown at you, but it became pretty clear to me like where everything
that
was.
Time
it's
when
pretty
you have
sectioned
to sneak
off
in on the rooftops, like getting into the helibase or whatever. Like that guy sent me that picture, and I'm like, this probably would tell a smarter person than me what the anything. It would give this picture. I have to imagine would give someone some information. I don't know who that person is or what information it would give them, but to me, that like might as well have just been like a flyer for Clown College.
The writing is pretty good. Like I'm amazed that like I didn't
into the shape of
even
the
know about this game being as awesome as it was.
I'm
glad that you
I
assigned
exposed
it
you to this.
Yeah. So then I played that for a while, and then
you got
I
heartworms.
He got heartworms. Yeah. I forgot to put his collar on.
It's sad. Man.
Yeah. So then for some reason,
it's my fault for licking so many butts.
I put Deus Ex on hold and played some Space Cam because I thought, I'll just play a level of Space Cam, and then just sort of got
played
Space
Cam for like 72 hours.
Crazy into it and have a tremendous appreciation for this game now.
I hope they make an iPad version of that. I mean, I don't know if they have any plans to or not, but it seems like it would be really good in that format.
Maybe. I use a lot of the keyboard controls to try to make level building easier.
That's true.
I think it would be... It would be a lot more arduous to do stuff.
To drag everything around, yeah.
So, like, you know, early in the game, they don't give you a lot of like neat widgets where you get like the ability to actually control the flow of stuff, which I guess you really only get in like boss battles or whatever. But the sensor elements make the whole thing much more interesting. And then the thing that really struck me about that game is that the achievements, like the challenges. The mere existence of them and like sort of trying to actually solve the levels on different terms than like I had done just sort of through my natural play taught me so much about the game that I was just really happy with the way that worked. Like they set a goal for you that is totally achievable, which like I got one of them just because I happened to build something in a particular way. But then I went back and I was like, oh, there are a bunch of these other achievements which I haven't even looked at. And
it's really neat. It's really neat that they have like inherent to it the ability to save a YouTube video of the level that you just did and just go
and
post that.
Yeah.
So if you've done like some insane thing and it turns out people have done it with three fewer factories and you're wondering what the fuck, you know that you can just go on YouTube and see how they did it and like learn some really intricate stuff that these guys have worked out.
When I played it a little bit, like I am still just sort of lost. Like it gives you those graphs when you finish a level, and I'm like, I don't know what any of those things mean.
The reactors, you shouldn't know what that even means to begin with. But the other things, like you know, like the cycles and the instructions or whatever.
What's
the components.
Cycle?
Oh come on, you're a programmer. You know what's going on.
I know what the word cycle means. I don't know what it means in this kind.
Each square that each square that the Waldo moves, or each instruction that it operates is one cycle.
Okay.
Right. So,
does a turn and count as an instruction?
Yes.
So does straight count as an instruction?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just clock ticks.
Okay. So shortness of the path then
that can affect. Yeah. Yep. because sometimes in order to sync up two robots, to sync up two Waldos or whatever, you have to, one of the ways you can do it is increase the path length for the second one that's like going too quick or whatever.
Or you could use one of those sync.
You could use syncs, but that adds two to the number of instructions, right?
Oh, because there's a sync and a wait on the other side.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. Because you have to match up the syncs. So, So like if you're trying to make the smallest instruction set, you don't want to use syncs. You'll do everything by actually having everything just flow at the right pace.
Okay.
And then if you're trying to maximize,
I'm not positive that it's a game for me.
Yeah, I mean which is interesting because you're the programmer of the three of us, right?
I'm the DJ.
Yeah, but what we're doing is just being excited by the algorithms. I think
I'm not much of a programmer.
Okay,
to be fair,
I mean whatever. You program enough to
I know next to nothing about programming. That I think we've established.
Yeah, for me though, the insight that I had was that by having these challenges, you go back and you try to solve these levels, it forces you to sort of by yourself learn methods for improving what you were doing.
Like this challenge, you can only do this challenge by figuring out a trick.
Yes.
That would come in handy in other places, but
exactly.
the existence of the challenge prompts
yes.
you understanding that the trick must exist.
And that was super satisfying to me. Like, I can't think of any other games where I felt like I was actually learning something about sort of just algorithms and like stuff like that in general just by sort of achieving something within the game.
To a lesser, I mean, we sort of used that tool in Word Realms when we were like, at what point do we want to tell the player about this sort of optional thing that we've got in the game? And then we were like, you know what, let's just not tell them. Let's put in an achievement
yes.
that is named such that with some knowledge they'll be able to find the place where this thing is hidden.
Yeah.
If they don't happen to find it by poking around. And that was like, you know what, that's actually pretty good. Like, because that way it can exist without the fiction of the game having to bend to tell you about it.
Right.
Right. But the game still tells you. It's just mm-hmm. like...
It's obliquely.
It's on the box.
That's sort of like the achievements in Minecraft work.
Yeah, I haven't played much Minecraft since the achievements went in.
Yeah, it's really more like a tutorial.
Which I think is really... I think that is a great way for the... for them to, like, introduce you to how stuff works in the world.
Yeah, when I first started playing it, I was not even at all sure how the crafting interface worked. Like, that did not make a tremendous amount of sense. Like, because there are states where it's like, all right, I've put these items here, and now this other thing popped up in this window. And it's like, well, is that item really there?
Yeah, until
like,
you actually pick it up, it doesn't
you
exist.
You pick it up, and you sort of realize, I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's, like, totally inscrutable. I'm just saying that
you have
I'm,
to experiment
I
with
am
it for a while.
Stupid, yeah. And it took me a long time to figure out what the fuck was going on.
And then the last thing that I played was a bunch of Picross 3D, which is a nice. Nintendo DS.
You played that before, didn't you, Riff?
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah. I bought it because you told me it was good, and I've been unable to wrest it out of the DS of my girlfriend. but also, you know, I mean, I should be working.
But it's a lot of fun. I got kind of frustrated with some of the hard puzzles because I started, like, playing hard puzzles in somebody else's account. And I've gone back to the easy puzzles, and I think it might be the case that it never actually forces you to guess, that there is always a way to solve it with pure logic.
Yes,
but
yes, that is true.
Okay, so
I felt when the first time that I was doing like a hard regular Picross, and you told me, nope, some of these you have to just pick one of two possibilities and move forward with it to see if it works. That to me just indicates that it's a broken puzzle.
Yeah, that I always feel like a Picross or, you know, Sudoku or some puzzle of that style that requires you to guess, it has failed.
It doesn't.
You know, ideally, all these puzzles should be able to be worked out purely through logic.
Depending on the size of the puzzle, though, like if it's like, okay, there are, you know, five different things that need to be filled out, you can sort of say, okay, well, I know it's probably one of these two. If I put it in here and then move forward with that, do I come to any, like, contradictions? Right?
I mean, if it had save states, then that would be one
sure.
thing, right? But which it doesn't, because it's a Picross game.
Sure.
I'm not gonna put fucking save states in there, right? I mean, if they are thinking that, all right, well, so what you need to do at this point to solve this is you need to, like...
Think through
think,
the next
yeah,
five
you need
steps.
To play the next five moves in your head.
Yeah.
Like, that's... See, what I think is they just designed a puzzle that was bad.
It's interesting. That's an interesting like take on it, because I feel
they
like
they did not algorithmically determine that it was solvable, right? Because they can. This is so in the there's a Picross game on the iPad that I've been playing, and I did not realize this, but all of the there's like a new puzzle every day, and those are all user submitted. My girlfriend found the part of it where you submit puzzles, and you draw something, and then it tells you whether or not it's solvable. So like, you know that you can write a program to solve a Picross, and then you can run every puzzle through it to see if there's any ambiguity anywhere in it. And
but like, I wonder if some of those require like go through the multi-stage. Like, okay, if I try this, will I? You know, like, because can some of those use some of the advanced like forethinking logic steps, right? Like, because like there are some that like you can solve them logically, but it feels like you get to a point where there's no obvious steps, and you have to like, okay, I think four steps ahead. Okay, this is going to cause a contradiction, so that's not the right one.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the point at which I lose interest in the Picross. I kind of think of a Picross as just a series of tasks to perform rather than a puzzle to solve. Like, if it gets too hard, it's no longer a relaxing thing that I want to do. Huh. I don't know. Hey, so that was a pretty good what you've been playing, bros.
Yeah.
Segment. Hey, so what's up with the world, guys? PopCap bought Microsoft.
I know. Whoa.
That's crazy. What's next? Plants versus Windows?
Toasters. Flying toasters.
Like, oh, yeah. PopCap bought After Dark.
Yeah.
Toasters versus lawnmowers. So yeah, EA, and I'm so fucking glad it wasn't Zynga.
Yeah, but I'm not much more excited by the idea of EA buying PopCap.
No, okay,
yeah,
well,
that's true.
So
could have been worse.
You know,
could have been Activision.
I could Activision bought Blizzard and then basically left them alone to continue showing up at their house with dump trucks full of money. I guess is the end of that sentence. So I shouldn't generalize too much. I can imagine EA just leaving them alone and letting them continue to develop stuff and taking the money rather than...
But hasn't EA like bought studios and then just sort of gutted them in the past?
Yeah, and I mean, and EA makes everybody work real hard and their wives get mad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know EA from, you know, a hole in the wall or whatever, but I just, I
you
worry.
You don't know EA from Titan AE.
Yes. But like I've heard a bunch of bad things, and it just concerns me, because I've been very fond of PopCap games in the past.
You know, somebody pointed
Madden
out like
versus zombies.
Yeah. So what if they, I mean, EA, you know, the thing is, somebody will leak an internal memo from EA, and it will be like a business guy talking to other business guys about like, oh yeah, we need to exploit these properties with a new title every year. And it's like, oh, man, that's evil. But it's like, no, that's just some business douche being a business douche. I mean, that's what they pay that guy for, right? And it's like, there are a lot of people who really enjoy that a new Madden game comes out every year. And then there are a lot of people who care about, like, the sort of art and soul of video games that are like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about John Madden, but I'm not losing anything to their existence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about that. But I'm just concerned about them pulling the plug on interesting projects.
Sure. That sucks.
Would Plants vs. Zombies have ever been made?
Given what you know about the history of that, where it was just like a couple of guys or three guys, and PopCap just said, all right, here's a year and, what, $500,000?
It was like 5 years. Three guys over 5 years to make a game.
Okay.
Right, like, and I don't know a bunch of the details of that, but I assume that they were, you know, they had jobs the whole time. You know, and they might have been working.
They were working at McDonald's.
Yeah, they might have been working on other stuff at PopCap or whatever. But like, they were making this game, and it took a long time, and that was okay. You know, like
PopCap had like 500 employees. I did not know that, and it surprised me a little bit.
You thought that was, you're surprised how big that was?
Oh yeah, I was surprised at how big it was, because you know, you think of PopCap as like the indie shop that made good, right? But like, I wouldn't have thought they made that good.
Well,
yeah,
you know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I knew they had more money than Jesus, and Jesus had a lot of employees.
Well, he could turn you know, leaves into cash.
Yeah, like the like the Golgafrinchens.
Yeah,
they just decided. They didn't really turn them into cash. They just decided they were cash, right?
What's this crazy AI thing you were talking about?
Oh, well, the MIT AI lab trained a computer to play Civilization.
The computer game.
In fact, they didn't tell it how to play. All they gave it was like, all right, here's how you click the mouse, and it can see when words appear on the screen, but it doesn't know what those words mean. So it was just able to like correlate, oh, I've seen this word over here as well. So it, you know, links those thoughts together, and they told it when it won. So it just ran like an evolutionary program, just starting out clicking on things randomly and judging the results until it got slowly better and better at the game by discarding, you know, process paths that didn't lead anywhere.
And its only feedback was whether or not it won.
Yeah, that's a really long chain.
Yeah, that seems like a long. Yeah. I guess you can run Civilization pretty fast, right? And so you can, it could behave way faster. I mean, it depends. Is it a robotic hand moving a mouse, or
it's just code. It gets even crazier though. It got to the point where it was winning about 46% of the time, and then they taught it how to read the manual. And its win rate went up to 79%.
They taught it how to read the manual?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I'm not entirely sure. I guess they gave it some kind of language processing ability or something and fed the text of the manual into it.
Okay.
You have to wonder what the internal narrative for that thing is. I mean, does it have any... Like, what if all you knew was whatever the first way you happened to connect these two concepts was?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's got to be like a crazy town's labyrinth of nonsense.
I mean, I feel like people do that every now and then, you know, like.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, if somebody gave you a game that where all the graphics were, you know, were not representational and all the text was in some alien language, so you couldn't read it, but you could see when a word reoccurred in one context and then again in another context, and they told you whenever you won, you could eventually figure out, even if you don't really understand the game, you could get better at it.
But it turns out that word was Holocaust, so every time you won, you were actually the bad guy.
And it turns out, you know, the computer is now running World War III.
That's a good point.
Would you like to play a game?
Civilization having multiple win conditions would potentially cause all kinds of havoc with the AI, right?
Because I wish the article gave more detail, but yeah. I suspect that if it did give more detail, I wouldn't understand what they were saying.
It's like a Wikipedia article with math in it.
Yeah.
I wonder how much, I mean, this might be unfairly critical of the people who are programming it, but I wonder how much the people who actually program it understand what the thing is doing, right? Because you make these
generic... Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, like, it's like somebody who does the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Right. Or it's like somebody who understands something, and then when you actually try to figure out, like, how they learned it, it's like they just have something that doesn't make any sense at all as their backing.
Okay.
For...
So when I first... Like, this is, you know, not a great example, but when I first had multiplication homework in grade school... I wasn't really a special program, but like a friend and I were
just
sort of...
Did you take a bus that was maybe a different size than the normal bus to get there?
I don't remember. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but it was just four
distances.
Times as wide. Hummer bus.
I didn't actually like have to listen to the teacher's like lectures on stuff. Like this other kid and I would just get all our homework assignments at the beginning of the day, and then we could just sort of fuck around in the
you
back
go
of
to
the
a
classroom.
Montessori school.
It felt like that. It was weird. It was just the two of us, and we would like go and we'd go to the back of the classroom and just do all our homework by ourselves during the day. I don't exactly understand how this worked, but so they started giving us multiplication homework, and since we hadn't been taught how to do multiplication, we kind of had to figure it out on our own.
Huh.
And so we didn't know about the existence of multiplication tables. And so we figured out that to get the correct answers, like if you were multiplying 5 times 6, we could write out 5 6 times and then add it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we knew how to do it. And so that's what we did. And so that's how I first learned how to do multiplication. And my mom, so like, you know, after a couple of weeks of this, my mom saw me doing some, because like at some point it gets to be these really big numbers, right? You know, like 79 times 23. I'm like, oh, God, this is awful. And so like I would go home and like homework was taking more and more time. And my mom was like looking at me and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm doing my homework. And she's like, that's not how you do multiplication. But like that was how I had like taught myself how to do it.
I still do that a little bit because I've got some gaps in my memory of the multiplication tables. So like to get 7 times 8, I still have to start
you
with
do 7 times 7 and then
6 times 8 and then add another 8 to it.
I mean, multiplication is one of those things that like really the best way to do it is just to memorize a bunch of shit at the sort of like atoms of it. And there's not any better way to do it than memorizing it, right? But memorizing a huge list of numbers is really counterintuitive because you're like, what am I doing trigonometry in the 30s? Like,
am I right?
Am I right? I don't know. 40 degrees. What?
I don't know. Like, it just the idea that there was some better way of approaching this made me really angry when I was a kid.
Because you didn't like wasting time.
Yeah.
And you had apparently been raised by wolves.
Yeah.
They couldn't put you in with the other kids.
They're wolves who knew how to do addition.
Did you go to Charlie Brown school? And so the reason you didn't have to listen to the teachers is because. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. You actually went to Charlie Brown school, which where they just taught you how to be balding even though you were like 6. So, that's the world. Anybody else got any news? I think PopCap was my only.
Yeah, that's pretty big though.
I blew my load there.
You popped my
cap. Shot my
your
wad.
Cap.
I shot my wad there. That's what. Yeah, popped my top. Horde. This week's assignment.
Yeah.
This is a bad. You're not allowed to pick any more assignments.
No, you know, I knew nothing about it other than that it was a game that I had just bought.
Sure.
So
you know it's okay, I guess. You got mad. Boy,
so
Kevin spent the first 15 minutes of playing Horde just really screaming at things other things.
Did you start playing the game and have all kinds of issues because of the default crosshair being on?
No, I had some initial issues where when I would pop up the menu to add stats to my dragon, there would be no cursor, so I couldn't actually click anything.
Okay.
But that went away after a reboot, so I don't know what was going on there.
There, like when I was playing it, the mouse. The default behavior on a Mac, at least, is that you are moving around with the WASD or whatever, and then your mouse indicates where you're pointing.
Uh-huh.
But it was not trapping the mouse cursor within the borders of the window. If the mouse cursor left the window, which you can't see the cursor because it's not actually on the screen, the game would just kind of freak out, and you couldn't do anything.
Would just start running in a single direction.
Yeah, and like, then you'd like try to get out of that menu or whatever, and then it would like just you'd fly straight north with no control over where you were going. It was
straight north. The map's
that's
kind of
probably
an angle.
Similar to what happened to me. Probably what happened was my mouse lost focus off the screen and into my second monitor or something.
I didn't
lose, like the dragon didn't turn autonomous or anything. So.
Yeah, it was just super,
super
frustrating.
It started winning at Civilization.
Well, because I would click on something. I would try to click on something, and nothing would happen because I was clicking on the background of the desktop or whatever. So I couldn't use my fire breath wouldn't work if the cursor wasn't on the screen. If you turn off the like crosshair, I don't know what it's called crosshairs because there isn't actually crosshairs, or at least if there are,
bomb sites. Yeah,
I didn't see them ever.
How did you know where your fire was going?
Because of the direction you were pointing.
Yeah, but it's at a specific spot in front of you,
okay,
and it can't be any closer
that,
or any
like,
further away.
Okay, sure. That's not
unless
really
you have those fireballs,
hairs.
In which case they become like a linear shot that will hit most things.
Yeah, so once I turned that off, then I could actually start playing the game. But yeah, that was like a really sort of, that put a really sour taste in my mouth to begin with.
I kind of wish that there was like a story mode where you played a campaign where you're like a little dragon killing, I don't know.
Something to give it some content and make it more interesting than just blowing shit up to see the numbers get higher.
I definitely felt like I wanted 10 times as much upgradiness and maybe like an aspect of like horde defense. Like I when I thought of it as a horde, I thought like, oh, I'm going to take this back to my like mountain lair where I get to like build some traps or something like that. But it's just a pile in a corner of the map, which is...
I mean, it's a very abstract game, right? Like, you could have thrown almost any skin on this, and it would have made sense, right?
Sure. But
I don't know. You know, I guess when I have a game that's like dragons and knights and princesses and shit, I want it to be like it. I want it to be not like a kind of a, I don't know, super abstract, simple real-time strategy game.
Is it? I mean, is this like kind of like Diner Dash in a slightly less regimented game style?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never played Diner Dash.
That's a good thought. I was trying to think of, you know, a comparison to draw between this and another game, and I couldn't come up with anything that made any sense. But yeah, Diner Dash is not too far off.
Because there's a bunch of tasks that you're supposed to perform. It's like you don't have the same kind of like very linearly defined goals, but you, like, there's specific stuff that you're definitely supposed to be doing. So I feel like it's definitely like a sort of goal-oriented
sort of like Diner Dash crossed with a tower defense.
Yeah. We didn't play any multiplayer, which we intended
that, yeah,
to.
That was my only...
We got busy for the last couple days before this podcast.
I really wanted to try playing like the co-op version, which I didn't do, and I wanted to play like an actual head-to-head game. And I tried just going to multiplayer where it would just like look for opponents, I guess, out in the world, and it, like, after 5 or 10 minutes, like, it still hadn't found anybody. So I don't know if it's just not being played or if that doesn't work the way I think it does or whatever. The game was kind of fun, like... You know, it just
kinda... I mean, I didn't hate it, but I just didn't see any reason to go back.
You know, it started out as a like an Xbox Live Arcade game, I think, or maybe one of those indie community games or something. I don't know. But it did kind of, like, if I think of it as a console game, it's like okay that there's not much to it. You know, because I didn't spend $5 on this. I spent 400 points on it, and I have no idea what the fuck that even means.
Right. Yeah. Moon dollars.
Yeah, because why don't you just do the math in your head about
because
how
they make it deliberately difficult
like
to do the
80,
math.
80
yeah, it's like 80
points,
points to a dollar. Yeah. I don't know if they do it deliberately. They say they're not doing it deliberately, but you can't trust them. They're an organization,
sure.
Like a union. Somebody rage quit because I'm anti-union.
Like anti-civil union?
Yeah, no, I, yeah.
Anti-gay union?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm an insufferable homophobe. I am. I like to think of myself as the Rush Limbaugh of video games. sorry, guys. You guys can be the whoever you want of video games. Who do you guys want to be?
The Jon Stewart of video games.
Oh, that's sweet.
Can I be the Johnny
right?
Depp of video games?
Sure.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna. I thought for sure, Kevin, that you would want to be the Benjamin Franklin of video games.
No,
could be anybody.
I realized that I actually had some additional non-video game related things I could have mentioned.
Oh, like you got new glasses.
I got new glasses,
like,
and we
Franklin.
Went climbing on some crazy high rock walls.
Oh, man, yeah. We went to a rock gym with the tallest walls ever.
Nice.
It was even a ladder that tall would have been exhausting to climb.
Yeah.
And terrifying.
Yeah.
Man.
It's pretty scary.
Terrifying.
Yeah. That's the one advantage of coming out to San Diego is this really cool new rock gym.
Oh, there's a lot of advantages.
Well,
the weather, the friendly homeless people.
Yes.
There was a homeless guy walking a chihuahua last night and screaming obscenities at his chihuahua.
Was it definitely the chihuahua or was it like the invisible gnome riding
there
the chihuahua?
Okay, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
It's hard to know
that it was the chihuahua. Put that down or I'll bite you, fucker. You fucker. That's what he said.
Huh.
Might not have been a homeless guy.
Could have just been somebody who lived in this building.
Looked and sounded like a homeless guy, yeah, but... Yeah. Anyway, so I'm thinking that I'm going to just randomly pick a game that just came out on Steam to be this week's assignment to see if I can be as much of a failure as Kevin.
Like
Dungeons of Dreadmoore, Dreadmoor. It is it's Mac and PC. It's like $5.
Oh, okay.
On sale for $4.50 until the 20th, so $4.50.
10% off.
It is... It's a funny roguelike, I guess. It seemed like I played it for like 30 seconds before the show, and there were a bunch of skills. And you pick a skill. You pick 7 skills. You can pick random skills. And I picked random skills, and one of them was making golems.
That's kind of neat sounding.
I started with a bunch of what looked like crafting materials and tools and stuff in my inventory. So it seems like maybe there's some crafting.
Are the games designed to be quick?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's a roguelike. It's so like
you could die right away.
It's
you
got
could,
that weird
you
isom.
Could eat a goblin corpse and just.
Oh yeah, yeah. Croak. No, you probably it's a roguelike based on the Traveler rules. You can die during character creation.
That's so great.
Anyway, so that's the assignment, and we'll play some of that maybe if we have time, and we'll maybe talk about that later.
Is it Arthurian in context or something?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering why Dreadmore.
Because that's Mordred. Mordred.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it probably just sounds scary.
Okay.
Some if you put M-O-R on a thing or M-A-L or Dread, those things all sound scary.
Huh.
Like Dungeons of Dread would be scary.
Dread, Mormon, Dread.
Mormon, Dungeons of Mormon.
Yeah, sure.
It's terrifying.
You have to play it through a hole in a sheet.
I don't, there is actually no religion where you fuck somebody through a hole in a sheet.
I know, but I choose to believe there is because it's funnier.
It was just some. That was just like some apocryphal.
I thought I saw that in a movie.
You did. You saw probably saw it on Curb Your Enthusiasm also. But that was just like this sort of apocryphal anti-Semitic thing.
Huh.
And now you know by spreading that and by thinking that's funny, you're just as bad as the Nazis.
I didn't say it was funny.
Oh no, I've been Godwinned.
You made a joke about it. I was talking to Riff.
Okay.
Anyway,
sure.
I wasn't. I was talking to you, but I should have been talking to Riff because he's the one that made the joke.
I see.
This is a kinder, gentler era. We're fucking sensitive and not nearly as funny as we used to be. I'm saying.
Yeah, it's sad.
You don't know. You don't know how many punches I've pulled tonight. You don't know how many off-color jokes that I would have made that would have brought our listeners the quality podcast they've come to expect from us that I didn't make because of this new era of trying not to get sued.
Like, puce.
You should write them down and post them in the forum as a director's cut.
Oh, man, yeah. Just do one of those, like, Pulp Fiction Just the Swears video. Yeah. Only it's just a podcast. No, it's like a 30-minute MP3 of me swearing.
That actually would be kind of funny if we did our regular podcast and then you just cut out all the like really offensive stuff and made that a separate podcast.
There wouldn't be, but there's not going to be any offensive stuff. I'm done with that.
I don't think that's a
how
thing.
Hard is it to keep politics out of a video games podcast? Not hard at all.
I don't
watch me do it.
Okay, all right, whatevs.
Just saying. So anyway, that's our assignment. How about some reader mail, guys?
Sure.
I want to dig into the video games hot dog forum thread about questions. And I'm going to start on the top of page 3, assuming that that's where we were. I don't know where we were. AJ Hunter says, do you guys realize that when you say go to the video games hot dog website like VGHD, some people don't know the URL. If they Google it, they're going to find Virtua Girl HD stuff. Yeah, that's us. This is what we're doing. You wondered, what are the guys that made Virtua Girl HD doing these days? They're doing this podcast.
What is Virtua Girl?
I think it's like some stripper that lives in your system tray.
So it's like,
oh, like Dogs,
Sims.
Except a stripper.
Yeah, that'd she helps you search cool. for things by showing you her boobs.
She does a strip search.
Yeah, every once in a while you're like, what? Every once in a while you hear like a... And you're like, what the fuck? And you're like, oh, yeah, I left Virtua Girl HD open looking for something, and now she's scratching the fleas off of herself, making that fucking noise. You guys don't use Windows, so you don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
You think you're going crazy? It was like, what, is there something in the wall? No, it's that fucking dog.
What dog?
I don't know. There's some dog on Windows XP when you search for stuff.
What?
I still use Windows. Microsoft is withdrawing support for Windows XP in 2 years. What am I going
to
do?
What happened to Clippy?
I think he's only in Microsoft Office.
Oh, okay.
There's some fucking dog. It's the dog from Microsoft Bob that helps you search for things. And then 15 minutes later, just long enough for you to be afraid you're going fucking crazy, it starts making noise.
It's literally just scratching its
yes.
fleas.
Yes. And I don't know if it is to remind you that you still got some search results open. I don't know.
Wow.
Also, knowing that you guys make video games, do you have any advice for a guy with only the free license of Unity and no money to spend on stuff that costs more than nothing.00?! With a dollar sign in front of it? Well, make a video game.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a fun video game with shit that you draw yourself. You don't have to spend any money to make a
and
video
game.
And
like, there's free sound clip websites. And
you don't even need that. Just make your own. Go... Beep-boo.
There's a lot of resources.
Boop-boop-boop-bee.
I mean, that guy made that like sort of puzzle Unity game like in a couple days, and that was sort of interesting.
You could call our friend David Jose, star of stage and screen. He's not really a star of stage or screen. He's a key grip.
He's a star of backstage.
He's a gaffer. If you want, he'll do some gratis pro bono voice work for you, saying things he'll say.
I'm sure over the phone, as long as you're willing to get recordings over the phone, you could probably get all kinds of awesome sound effects, or maybe some sort of crazy mage game. You could do like a crazy magician.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be really good as a crazy magician. Maybe some sort of demented troll person. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that.
Yeah, he could do a lot of noises for a troll.
Yeah.
Noises like, pow, pow, pow. That's the kind
of
noise.
If you need like a character in the bar who tells stories about all the famous hot movie stars he's had sex with.
Yeah. All right, let's not get mean, guys. If you need a character who's a fat guy.
If we made a character that looks just like a slightly squashed version of Zach.
Yeah. David Jose is one of my favorite people on Earth. I don't know why I'm so mean to him.
He
it's
sent
just
an
so
awesome
fun.
Picture today.
He did, man.
Yeah.
Man, he's got some crazy inside scoop mobile.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's, man.
It's great. Anyway, we love you, Dave. I don't know if you listen to this or not.
Probably not.
But anyway, if you're making a movie in Pittsburgh, you should hire David Jose. He
you
was the fecal effects wrangler
Minecraft
from Dogma.
Server for Dave's at some point.
Oh, fine. Anyway, War Tower 9 says, ever played Civilization 5? Good game. Yeah, I played it a little bit. I did not get nearly as into it as I got into Civilization 4, and I think that is because every 10 years I get a hankering to play a bunch of Civilization, and then I wait until whatever version is out 10 years from then to get it again.
I played Civ either 2 or 3 a ton. I played the original Civ, and then I played either 2 or 3. And at some point in there, I also played Alpha Centauri.
I never played Civilization 2 because it was gross.
I never really played any of them. I played a little bit of the first one, I think. Maybe it was the
first one. I like the first
one
because it had real pretty 320 by 200 graphics or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
I played one of the old ones.
320 by 240. And then when it got to be 680 by 1022, I was like, that's not even a shape that a monitor would be. I don't have a monitor. I can only see half this. What?
Why is this octagonal? Doesn't make any sense.
Everything's a diamond, and I don't know which is up. Screw this.
Yeah.
Why did I not pay for this game? I can't believe I spent the time copying those floppies, despite exhortations to not do so. Morgan Blair writes, all I want to do is play Minecraft. How do I balance my gaming life between the games I know I should play, like Portal 2, and my all-consuming addiction to tree punching?
Damn, if you figure it out, let me know.
Eventually your love of punching stuff will wane, I think. I could be wrong. Like, I feel like you go in phases, Riff, where you play for a while, and then you do something else, and then a new update will come out, and it'll rekindle your enthusiasm.
Yeah, but I mean, even now, I don't know. I run out of stuff to do and log in anyway and wander around my house just looking at stuff and wondering what I'm going to build next. And, you know, eventually I think of something else to build, so I keep playing. But,
I mean, every once in a while I'll get
the urge to build is strong.
I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong. Like, you know, to me, playing Minecraft is like, doddering around fucking with a model train set, right? It's you know, it's not, what are you going to do, watch TV instead? Fuck that. You know?
This is good TV to watch.
Sure, but it's not like, you know, you have a certain amount of time that you can't spend doing something productive, right? And so, like, what's the matter with playing Minecraft, right?
Well,
like,
I guess the question is if you've
how
got
do you balance it
with a lot of different games to play, how do you stop playing Minecraft in
it's
favor
weird.
Of playing it, at something
if
else?
If you suddenly have this modern problem where you feel a responsibility to consume all of the media that it is possible for you to consume, which I feel like is just drawing us inexorably towards a world in which everyone is fucking crazy. because we're never going to have access to as little media as we have access to right now, guys. Fucking try, just hold on to the last little shred of your sanity that you have right now. You feel guilty. You feel guilty about not watching television. Like, this is a thing that we experience. This is a thing that it we have all experienced.
It is a first world problem.
We
right?
feel guilty because we have not yet watched the DVD box set of The Wire that is on the counter in our living room, right? And it's like, what, man? Like, not so many generations ago, if we didn't like get the fuck out of our house and go farm every day, we would just starve to death. And this is where we are now.
So obviously the solution
now we're building machines
is to
farm
hook up
grain
a Skinner box
us.
To Minecraft so that you have to go punch a cactus in order for a food pellet to be distributed.
Oh, like a real world food pellet. Like you have to...
Cactus?
Okay.
Punching a cactus seems like a terrible
I mean,
plan.
If you could go outside right now, Riff, and wander around the neighborhood until you found a prickly pear and punch it, and it would, you know, probably deliver you a fruit.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. Inaudible Yelling writes, so I wanted to get your opinion about griefing in Minecraft. Some people think it's funny and some don't. What's your opinion? I think it is what makes it so you can only ever play Minecraft with people that you know.
Yeah.
Yep. That would playing Minecraft on a server with untrustworthy people would be the worst thing I can imagine in video games.
Yeah.
Because the amount of damage that you can wreak with a bunch of dynamite, it is just kind of terrifying.
And imagine, you know, the guy who rolls need on the mace that you should have gotten and says, fuck you. Imagine if he could just effortlessly destroy all of your gear. He fucking would.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are mods that prevent untrusted users from doing things with TNT and fire and stuff, but,
yeah, but
mean,
they
you can't stop people from digging, you know? So they're still going to fuck your shit up.
Jacques Minot says, easiest and hardest game you've ever played? Oh.
Hardest
Battletoads
game.
Was the easiest. We should have thought of it. We should have, think about this.
Yeah, that's,
and answer
a,
it
that's
in
an interesting
segment.
Question.
Jacques Minot also telling us about the Master Theorem, which this wasn't where we found out about it, but yeah, thanks. Oh No, another putz says, you guys had asked if there was a last Starfighter video game. They tried developing some, but ended up not releasing any for various reasons. There was an NES one, but it was just a port of some unrelated game with replaced sprites that had nothing to do with the movie. Some guys made their own freeware game sometime recently based on the arcade game in the movie, but I couldn't get it to run on my computer without crashing. Unrelated question, what's your favorite weapon in a video game? Huh.
Hmm. I really love the railroad rifle from Fallout 3.
I liked the Rock It launcher, which has probably my least favorite name of any. You know, though, that sword, the sword made out of a motorcycle gas tank in Fallout 3 and a lawnmower
that was
blade.
Pretty sweet too.
Yep.
But man, the railroad launcher just, man, it was so satisfying to shoot. It was giant meaty explosion and the hiss of steam that came out of the boiler and nail a dude's fucking head to the wall and it stays there as scenery. That was so beautiful.
I don't think I ever actually got that weapon.
Oh, it was so good.
I mean, I wanted to have a
gun that
I
shoots
to have a cooler
railroad
answer
spikes
to that. We should read these questions ahead of time and think about them so we're not just sitting here stammering sounding like dweebs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a really hard time thinking of like spectacular weapons from video games.
Yahtzee did a good article recently. His I've forgotten the name of that
extra
series.
Punctuation.
Extra punctuation, yeah. About making satisfying weapons in I think he was talking specifically about first person shooters, but weapons in general. And what makes a weapon satisfying or not. It was a pretty good article.
The sword from Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking like a particularly cool sword from World of Warcraft.
But that's the thing, a sword in World of Warcraft doesn't, it's not cool. It doesn't feel good to stab a dude in World of Warcraft. It feels like you're just like watching an animation play sort of in the direction of an enemy.
So
that's why I always play casters, because melee in MMOs is really
the legendary sword from the original game, or maybe the first expansion or whatever, was this, I don't remember the name of it.
Ashbringer?
No. No, the very
the
first
idea of Ashbringer is cool. That all the story behind that Excalibur.
But when you actually got the sword in fights, it would sometimes spawn tornadoes, which would like pick up your opponents and fly them around and stuff. It was just cool,
mm-hmm, cool.
Right? Like you know,
I always like the idea of, I don't know, man. I don't remember what game it was. Rastan. I know what game it was. Rastan was the game that made me love swords. And there might have been skeletons in that game.
I don't think I know.
It was just an arcade game where you were like Conan the Barbarian.
Was that the one with
you...
like the with the lizard men and
And you'd swing the sword in a really satisfying way, and then you could get a power up that would make fire on your sword. And I'm like, man, I like swords and hitting things with swords. And when a sword has fire on it, and then you hit things with it even harder. And then I don't like those guys with six arms that throw bones or something at you.
Oh yeah.
And I don't like
the little bowling pins. Yeah.
I don't like fall. Yeah, it was bowling pins. I don't like falling in a waterfall.
Did you ever play Worms?
Yes.
Were any of those weapons like particularly satisfying?
No.
Or are they too abstract?
They're too. I mean, they were either abstract or goofy in a way that made them not. You know.
Yeah, but
it's like,
I mean,
oh, the sheep from Worms. It's a sheep.
Or, you know, the banana or whatever. Like, there's like. There's all kinds of things like that were kind of neat, though. Like, you know, creating. Okay, I don't even know if this is Worms. This might be like just
scorched earth.
Scorched earth, yeah, where you like create dirt and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, those are so okay. Sure,
there were a bunch of satisfying
dirt bombs in.
Yeah,
yeah. It was neat in. I liked in Scorched Earth when if you turned on random explosions where the tanks would die in different.
Oh yeah,
ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would turn into that weird like sort of upward triangular fountain of dirt. And then just like maybe cover up other tanks that were around them. And that was always good because it bought you an extra round where the computer had to shoot its way out of the avalanche.
Couldn't you sometimes dig your way out of stuff?
Yeah, there were weapons that would
just
destroy dirt and wouldn't hurt you.
Right.
Man, that was a good game.
Surprisingly satisfying.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would still play that today if I had a copy of it that ran. I played, I Shoot.
Right.
Like, was one of the first, like, sort of breakout random miscellaneous, like, oh, I've made, you know, a couple hundred grand by selling this app for a dollar in the App Store. And it was just like a really scaled down version of Scorched Earth.
Yeah.
But it was pretty satisfying. I played a lot of it. I hated the controls. That was the only problem.
Yeah, I feel like controls are where a lot of smartphone game, like, that's where a lot of them, like, run into trouble.
All right, well, I think that's enough reader mail for now. This was a good series of questions. I don't know why we didn't get to these before.
We should spend some time reading and think about next shows in advance.
Yeah, we should.
I want to go back to that question about the easiest and hardest game and have good answers for it.
Kevin, if people wanted to ask us questions, how would they do so?
That's an excellent question.
If I wanted to ask you a question, what question should I ask you?
I think you should ask me how people could ask us questions, and then I should... tell you that you should do it by just asking me right now because we're in the same room. But if somebody wanted to do that from not in the same room, you could find all of the easiest ways to find us would be on our website at vghotdog.com.
That's totally not our website.
Video games HD.
Video games hot virtualgirlhd.com.
We're really bad at self promotion because. We keep giving people just the wrong URLs.
Hey, you know who should promote us instead of us is people on iTunes. Go to iTunes, especially listen to this episode, think, those guys have really turned over a new leaf, and they're not saying things that offend me or make me angry anymore.
And also, they're not funny.
And they used to be funny.
Yeah.
Give them a rating. Give them a rating on iTunes. Just Kevin and Riff. I know you don't like me because I'm the asshole, but give Kevin... Don't think of it as giving Video Games Hot Dog a good rating. Think of it as giving Kevin and Riff a good rating as a reward for putting up with my horse shit.
And maybe it'll give us a leg up on life.
Maybe it will. Maybe it'll get us in the top 10,000 video games podcasts.
Yeah, so videogameshotdog.com.
Yeah.
And at VGHotDog on Twitter. And then there's links to our forums, which is probably the most reliable and best way to ask us a question.
Oh, I don't know. I think vghotdog@gmail.com is probably the quickest and best way. Because I see those all the time, because they come into my telephone
box.
Oh,
do they? I don't look at those regularly, so it's harder for me to know.
I like to wait until there's a handful of good ones before I go that direction on the show, though. So, yeah, this week it was Forum Threads. Well, this has been a pretty fun show, I guess.
Yeah.
I felt strangely constrained by my conscience.
Also, that straitjacket you're wearing.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording with my nose.
Okay. Have a good time with that.
Good night, everyone.
Have a great week, everybody.